Hey, everybody. Welcome to Drive to HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about HR with people who are getting it done. So we are in Dallas all this week. We're broadcasting. We're attending a conference, the Summer Brand Camp, which is put on by People Report Black Box Intelligence. So that's a fun place to be. Going to see lots of amazing people this week and lots of folks that I really respect and enjoy. So good times had by all. So let's get to our guest, because one of my favorite people on the planet is with us today. So Heather Bussing, welcome back to Drive-Thru HR.
I'm so happy to be here. And please say hello to all my friends at Summer Brain Camp. There's some of my favorite people there, too.
Well, we will definitely get that done. So, and again, it would be fabulous to be able to have you here. That would only, the only way it could get better is if we had you in person. But
I try to stay out of Texas as much as possible.
That's fair. I got a few states that I try to stay out of geographically and otherwise. So I'm totally down with that. So. Well, if you would, introduce yourself to our listeners, and then we'll kind of roll in on what we're going to talk about today.
Okay. I'm Heather Bussing. I'm an attorney. I practice employment law and do a lot of legal writing, and I teach writing and social media and internet law at a law school up here in Northern California. And I also write and edit for the HR Examiner, which is hrexaminer.com, and many of you know that. And so I get to work with a bunch of really wonderful writers and bloggers and thinkers, and I'm like the luckiest person, because I just sort of sit in the middle of a really amazing, intelligent group of people dealing with HR, and I hardly ever have to perform.
Well, that's, you know, and you know what, the HR Examiner, you know, yourself definitely goes with saying, puts out some, I really, really always enjoy your content. It seems to always have a little bit of edgy humor, which I think makes it probably more palatable than a lot of things I read. It's so dry for me. So I like to have a little bit of edge to it.
Especially from the lawyers, right?
Oh, good God, yeah. I mean, I'm spoiled, because I think because of the show and kind of the ecosystem we're in, I probably have, you know, 7 or 8 or 9 kind of employment law attorneys.
You've found all the really great ones. I mean, Robin Shea and John Hyman and Eric. I mean, amazing people.
Yeah, like the 8 of you. The 8 of you in the country. I know all 8. So I am very, very, very fortunate that way. So, we talked a little bit pre-show, kind of, what's top of mind for you today that you want to chat about?
Well, it's not really legal stuff, but it certainly relates to work and life, which is pretty much everything pre-legal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so I just moved. I moved my offices. I've moved my house. The summer is starting, and the kids are going to be around a lot more. And so I have been working with change. And I've been through some really big changes in my life. And you'd think I'd get used to it, or at least good at it, and I'm not. I'm not. It's hard. It's just hard.
Well, you know, what's interesting, and I read your the piece you just put out maybe yesterday, even in the last couple of days, on around change or dealing with change on HR Examiner. Everyone, you should definitely, if you've not read, kind of hit the site and read that and follow that, you definitely should. I mean, it's a little bit different take from a lot of different angles. Great content that comes out of there. So definitely a proponent. So some of the things, I mean, that you listed out on there, all of them. I mean, I love the article, you know, the blog post that you put out, because, I mean, it helped navigate, you know, some stuff that, you know, like you said, we all deal with change. There's change around us. And one of the things, I'll tell you, the one thing that I think hit me square in the eyes that I would like to start with as far as talking is have mixed feelings.
Right.
That's the one.
Yeah, I forget that one all the time. But it turns out that I usually have mixed feelings about just about everything. Just about everything. I mean, even the really good stuff, even the really good changes involve a loss. I learned that so completely when I had my first child, which is one of the most amazing, joyous, incredible things that could ever happen. But I lost my freedom. And nobody talks about that. Nobody says, oh, yeah, this is really hard. You're not going to get to do what you want to do when you want to do it the way you want it done for a really, really long time. And that's really hard. And so then I started noticing that really, you know, bad changes come with gifts and good changes come with grief and loss, and that none of my feelings are, oh, this is 100% good or this is 100% bad, but I want to put it that way. I want to frame it that way because then I know how to respond. And it turns out that when you do that, you lose perspective, and that it's much better to go, oh, yeah, this is always mixed. This is always mixed. And then you can choose where you want to focus it, but you can do it more clearly. And I forget. I mean, I dig my heels in, and I want to label it. I want to categorize it. I want to put it in a box. I want to control it. That's really a waste of energy. It's just I'm spitting. I spin out.
Well, you know that's the good thing. Like you said, what's interesting, and being HR, like I said, the majority of our listeners are, you know, obviously HR practitioners,
right,
have something to do with the talent side, the people side of the equation for companies, and you tend to be the one that is the safety net.
Right.
When shit hits the fan, personally or professionally, you're either directed into HR or by default, HR probably has to get involved, and there's sometimes, more than not, the HR practitioners actually have to be people and deal with, you know, people going through a lot of personal things that are affecting
right.
the professional side or the
yep.
professional side that is now probably exacerbating an issue on the personal side, but it's all right in front of you and you're dealing with people. You're dealing with humans.
Right.
And so you've
right.
got to navigate.
Who hate
like
change?
This.
All humans hate change. Even the change they ask for, it's just hard. So like a great example is, remember a few minutes ago, a few weeks ago, when Yahoo decided to ban working at home. And HR put out this memo that went public immediately that was this completely, you know, rah, rah, We're doing this for you, and it's going to be so great to work together, and isn't this awesome? And get out of your pajamas and get into traffic now because it's going to be fabulous. Imagine how differently it would have played if they said, we think we need to do this for the good of the company, and we know how hard it's going to be on you. And we know that this is a really big change, and that you're going to have to make a lot of adjustments. And so we would really like to know how we can make this change easier for you, or here are several options for how to think about it and how to manage it, and here's how we're going to transition it because we know this sucks. I mean, imagine how differently that would have played.
Oh, my God. It would have been a whole – the reaction, I think personally, would have been a lot less like, you're taking things away from us. I mean,
right.
from the media to culturally to the people involved, literally it takes the momentum out of the fact that, you know, basically you don't understand. You're just going to flip the switch and you do not care what the damage is. That's initially is like, you think we're all idiots and you're going to change
right.
our behavior and that's going
right.
to fix the world, basically.
Right. And spin never works.
Yeah. No, it does not. You know, the other point in your article, because they were all good, and actually, for those that don't have access or just don't have the inclination to pull it up, that's fine. But you listed out seven things that you've learned. And some of the tools that have helped you deal with change. I'm just going to read them off real quick. Don't fight change. Choose your change. Accept change. Lose the drama. Have mixed feelings. Wait to respond. And be curious. For me, again, have mixed feelings was one that I just, you know, because I'm in the moment of something and I'm like, you know, it's like, my God, my life, I've got to change something. I'm forgetting that it's all right to give myself
right,
permission
right.
to be pissed and to be happy and then to be pissed again. I mean, it's all right. But the second one is to choose your change. That's the other one that kind of just jumped out. I love all of them. I've read it several times actually today. I think I even chanted all seven at one point to some music. But anyway, choose your change. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, you know, I started out by saying change happens. You know, you can't avoid it. Change happens. Change happens every minute. But you can choose. You can choose which things to take on and which things not to. And really, our time and our attention are limited, non-renewable resources. So don't spend them on things that you don't want to do. You know, we all have to do some things that maybe we're not totally crazy about, but we have choices about it. So if you hate your job and you think that you're stuck there because you have bills to pay, find a new job. Just start now. You know, choose your change. You know, there are lots and lots of things that you can change if you're willing to take the risk or you're willing to be clear about where you are. But we label things and then we, you know, build our prison and then we furnish it very, very nicely. And then we get stuck. And so... So then what happens is we get unhappy and change gets forced on us, and that's never pleasant. So if you can see clearly for where you are today and understand that it's good and it's bad, and then figure out where you want to go, change won't be so hard.
Nice. I'm going to do a quick research, everybody. This is Nisha and Brian talking to our wonderful guest, Heather Brezing. And Heather, it's been a great pleasure talking to you. This is my first time that I'm talking to you in person.
I know. I'm so excited. You have the most beautiful smile. I see your pictures come through, and it's like, oh, my God, I can't wait to take your picture. You have the most gorgeous smile.
Wow, thank you so much. I would be honored if I get a picture of mine from you. Because I've seen whenever we have any conferences, you have amazing photographs from all the attendees and all the HR experts. So I really admire your work.
Oh, thank you. I really love doing it. It's my way of coping with large groups of people.
Yeah, and talking about change, this is actually, I was talking to Brian in the pre-show, Well, this is actually a subject which is so near and dear to my heart, because I've been going through this phase in my life. I moved to the United States, and then I've gone through a career crisis, and after that, I joined a drive-through HR, and recently I moved to a new home. So a lot of things are happening in my
life. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot to take. But luckily, everything is good. Everything turned out to be good. But you know, going through your blog post, your study, I can totally relate to your points. As you said, you know, choose your change, and the favorite point of mine as well is have mixed feelings. So
right.
So for me, in the beginning, I had this sort of fixed situation in my mind, you know, what to take or what not to take, which is right, which is wrong. I don't know. I didn't even know.
Right.
So in the initial moment, people find a little bit kind of restricted in terms of sharing their change with somebody who had already gone through that.
Right.
Yeah. So what's your take on that sharing aspect? So in order to take a decision, whether to right or wrong, what should be done, you know, how to look forward. So and that sharing aspect, what's your take on that?
Well, any time I can get my fears and insecurities out of my head and out into the world, and even better yet, into the hands of someone that I trust. all sorts of things happen because, you know, when it stays in my head, it gets blown out of proportion and it's all about me, and I can get obsessive. But when you put it out in the world, I mean, in almost any way, by talking about it or by writing about it or by singing about it, you know, however you can, it shrinks. It gets right-sized. You can see it in the context of everything else, and it's not the – it loses its power as the loudest voice in your head.
Yeah,
so,
that's
yeah, so getting it right sized is huge, and if you don't have a friend or you're not comfortable doing that, just writing it out and then going back to it the next day and seeing it on the page makes a huge difference, at least for me.
Yeah, for me too. I find it really useful because I wrote all this transition time in my blog, and then people read it. And they have supported me amazingly with their insights and with their thoughts. Even some of them, they haven't even gone through my situation, but still, we can get that sort of, you know, a third-party idea or a different person's idea in terms of how to fix this issue or how to face this situation. It's kind of a positive feeling that we get.
Yeah. It's magic. It really is magic. I mean, there is so much wisdom around us, and there's something about our culture. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest, and I think it's particularly prevalent in the Midwest. But I grew up believing that I was not supposed to have problems. That if I had problems, they were to be kept private and not talked about in public, and that my public face should always be, you know, well-groomed, well-behaved, you know, successful. And the thing is that's an awful lot of work because it's not real. Everyone has problems. Everyone has things that they're struggling with. And it's so wonderful to be able to talk about some of those things and have someone go, oh, yeah, you know, I went through that. And just to see that they lived, you know. Wow. If you survive,
that's
maybe
really
I will.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really awesome. And especially you pointed out, be curious. Yeah.
Be curious.
During that, it may be positive or negative, but still going through that stressful situation, it's a little hard for people to focus on the curiosity more than, you know, they might be focusing on what's their stressful situation. But I really liked your idea, you know, embrace that curiosity. I like that.
Right. Well, because what happens for me is I'll go, wow, I'm having a really hard time. And I'm not supposed to fight change, but I'm fighting change. Oh, my God, I'm doing it wrong. And then I start beating myself up for doing it wrong. and then I can just sort of spin out from there, which is all of this great diversionary tactic for not dealing with the change itself. But if I can back out and just go, oh, maybe I could be curious. Maybe instead of jumping to conclusions or labeling this or figuring out, you know, whether this is good or bad or making a decision right now, maybe I can just go, oh, I wonder what this is about. Oh, I wonder what that's like. Oh, I wonder what my options are. And if I can somehow, if I can go, hey, Heather, just be curious about this. Just sit with it and be curious. That takes me out of that whole you're doing it wrong loop. And it gives me sort of space and time to explore in a way that's more open, rather than trying to get it over with and fix it.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially trying something new, it helps us to go through that particular stage in terms of, especially for me, I've never blogged before. I haven't tried painting, or I haven't been active on social media 2 years, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
go ahead.
Yeah, so we all like reaching out to an untapped potential of ours, I think so.
Yeah, being yourself in public is really scary. It's really scary. I mean, I don't have any problem writing about legal stuff. I'm really good about talking about other things or ideas. But when I started occasionally writing something that was about me, I felt shaky and naked and exposed and uncomfortable. And the truth is that people are going to judge you no matter what. So, you know, and they won't agree with you, and some will, and that's just all good. I mean, you know, but it's hard. It's hard work to take risks and to think in public and to feel things in public. And yet you have to still be appropriate. I mean, you have to have boundaries, and you have to, you know, nobody wants the nitty gritty, and nobody wants your insane rant. But everybody wants to see that you're going through things just like they are. And finding that line is really difficult. And a lot of people get it wrong.
Yeah, I really admire that, Heather, because what I'm saying is, like, people, you said it right. No matter what, people would judge whatever we write or whatever we look like, but I don't necessarily care about it. I write whatever
right.
I wish to, and as you said, there is a particular boundary that I cross the line there. I would share some of my personal aspects with people that I really know very personally,
right.
And people who I really believe in.
Right.
So other than that, I won't share. I won't feel like sharing it, and especially as you said, people who read our blogs, they might be going through that situation. They might really want to know how we kind of process through that kind of a situation. And I get a lot of feedback based on my situation. Because in New Year's, if you see, there are a lot of Indian and Asian communities, housewives and then ladies and
right.
People who are really exploring their career have gone through this kind of a situation and then really
yeah.
going through. So that is a different story, which I'm not talking about it right now. But especially at your point, I really I admire the idea in terms of having your own credibility in terms of writing it or exposing to outside,
right,
whether you write a blog or post a Facebook update, whatever it is.
Well, and the flip side is that everybody has to find that place for themselves, and it's going to be in a different place. I mean, Cheryl Strayed writes a column at Rumpus called Dear Sugar that is just so raw and revealing, and you learn, you know, the very intimate details of her life, but she does it so beautifully and so compassionately and in the context of helping others that it doesn't feel weird. It's really moving and powerful. But that's a special context and a special thing that she's working with, and it may not be appropriate at work, or it may not be appropriate for a work-related blog. And so everybody just has to figure out what works for them. And it's going to be different because everyone's different. And so, you know, whenever I see, you know, 5 best practices for personal blogging, I just sort of want to roll my eyes, because there's really no way to tell somebody how to do it. The way you do it is you bang around and tromp through it and screw it up a few times, and then you hit your comfort zone, and then you change and grow, and so it's going to change too.
Well, and yeah, and Heather, one of the things that I think is, and we, you know, that we've talked about even before, and is that a really tough human trait is trying to fix things, because it just it makes you feel better.
Oh, especially for HR.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like literally, and getting comfortable. And I'm saying this out loud so that, you know, just as a reinforcer that I don't, you know, react to something and try and fix type thing. And I'm getting better at that because I'm practicing, right? I'm practicing of I don't need to fix anything. I just need to listen. I just need to listen and maybe acknowledge that I hear exactly what you're saying. And to the point that I'm like, I'm not going to try and fix anything. I can't. I'm definitely here to listen, right? And I think that's one of the things that it's definitely one of, because I do it, it's one of the things that one of my biggest pet peeves is when people literally, especially when they don't even let you finish your thought, not to go negative here, but I'd spend 28 minutes of positive. I got to do a little negative or I wouldn't be myself. So, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, but it's just one of those things is, I think with all this and what you're saying is, let people be people, and that's all right.
And you can't change other people. You really can only change yourself and your responses. There's leverage. You can encourage people to make a decision one way or another, but you can't really control them, and you can't ever really change what they think. They have to decide to do that. So you can do your best and be very effective, but really you don't control the outcome.
And these are all, and just, you know, for me, I mean, I say this all the time, and I think it's just really good, especially for the HR professionals. These are just tools to deal with communication of the people that, you know, are your clients internally, are every person, internal, external, candidates, leadership, doesn't matter. They're all your customers. And
yeah.
So these are just tools to help deal with what gets put in front of you on a minute-by-minute, hour-by-hour, day-by-day basis. So there you go, Heather. We are officially out of time.
Wow, that was fast.
It always is. I love talking with you. And, Nisha, thank you so much. Great questions. And a good show. We can't wait to get you back on. Everybody, make sure you have an absolute ridiculously good day. We are out of here. See you guys.